Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio. Under a Shady Tree with Lord Terry and Lord Onyx. Come on in, grab a glass of sweet iced tea and sit right down. These Southern Pagan boys are about to start their talk. Here's Lord Terry and Lord Onyx.
And good evening, everybody. Good afternoon. Good morning. Good wherever in the world you are. This is Reverend Terry Power, and I am coming to you live from Northampton, Pennsylvania, and you are under a shady tree with Terry and Robin now, except that tonight my lady is not going to be with us. We have an adventure planned for the weekend, and she is busily packing and preparing for our adventure. I'm going to be teaching a class for my day job over in over in Queens, in New York, and kind of her old stomping grounds where she grew up. So we're planning a big adventure for the weekend over there. And so she is working diligently toward preparing all of our stuff and for us and a 10-year-old. So we're going to make sure and have a great adventure. And so I gave her the night off. Since she's doing such amazing work for the family, getting all of that ready. So tonight we are under a shady tree with Terry and our very special guest. I'm so excited. We've got S.J. Tucker with us tonight. S.J., are you with us?
I am here, Reverend Terry. Thank you for bringing me under this beautiful shady tree you got right here.
Oh, thank you for joining me. And I hope you got your glass of sweet iced tea, and we'll just... Everybody pull up your chairs, gather around. We just want to hang out. And really, it's just Terry, please.
Okay.
I use that in the intro, and it's about the only time I say it.
All right, I'm letting that go. So, I like saying Reverend when my accent comes out. It makes people smile.
So there might be, out there in our listenership, one or two people that are not familiar with the amazing and wonderful S.J. Tucker. So would you go ahead and tell those couple of people all about yourself and maybe a refresher for those of us that have followed your work for a little while?
Absolutely. Well, the beautiful thing that I have to relate tonight is that I am sitting in the bedroom that was my bedroom when I was a child, down in Southeast Arkansas where I grew up. I've been singing and performing full-time since 2004, and my favorite shows and my favorite experiences, my favorite interactions are always when I get to work with the pagan community, and it's been the pagan community that's hung on to me as an artist and grabbed me almost immediately when I started trying to figure out how in the world I was going to do this and make a living at it, and these folks have never let me go. So it's just all of, I'm coming from the best possible combination of places of power tonight, because I'm under the shady tree with the Southern witchery intact, and I'm sitting in the house of my childhood. And I get to tell all sorts of stories, and it's not often that I get to go all the way back into my roots. I like to call the music that I play something along the lines of jazzy, snazzy, original folk rock fed on fat fairy tales. And I don't expect anybody to remember that. It's there will not be a quiz, but I hope that you do remember it. Because they say in the music business, which I'm over here in my little quirky corner of, that you got to make people remember you. And so I try to be as memorable as possible, because I want to be one of the things that people tell stories about someday. I want to be part of the hope that people have left when we go down the line, and all we have that we can depend on is our communities. I want to be something that makes people happy always. I want to be something that makes people think. I want to be something that helps people to heal. It's very important to me to have an aspect of healing in my music and in my performance, and that's sort of where my magic comes from, just my personal practice. I try to be a good showerhead, as some of my Reiki practitioner buddies like to say, as far as getting the right energy out to the people that need it most. And along the same lines, I will sing a song about ninjas or pirates and not bat an eye, and refuse to take myself too seriously, because I believe in a strong diet of Muppets and comic books and old Beatles songs that make no sense. And as I said, pirates and pixies and all those other good things, lots of fairy tales, etc. But if anybody would like to go and find out more about the music, and as at any time, you are more than welcome to go to music.sjtucker.com and listen for free. I have all 10 albums that I've released thus far and more posted up there. And I'm actually hoping to release a new song this coming Monday, which is going to be the February full moon, also my birthday. So we'll see if I can pull that off. That'll be the page to watch for that.
All right, well, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying about not taking things too seriously. I tell people all the time it's too important to take seriously.
That's a good way to put it.
I have a lot of teachers
in the pagan community that taught me how not to take things too seriously. I know a lot of pagans that are all about that, too.
Yeah, well, I've been accused of having a natural immunity to bad energy because I have a quote, healthy irreverence.
What kind of irreverence could be better than the healthy kind?
Well, yeah, I mean, you should see the look on people's faces when you tell them it's all too important to take seriously.
Yes.
And they look at you like you've grown another head. Now, my 18-year-old daughter called me a few weeks ago, maybe a couple of months ago now, and we were talking about something, and she was talking about something at work, at her work, and she said, you know, Daddy, I never understood what you meant by it's all too important to take seriously until that moment. And I'm standing there, and all of this stuff happening, and I just started laughing, and I got it. And it's like, yay, you know.
It comes in the right moment, doesn't it? It comes across exactly when it's supposed to.
It does, and you know, if I can plant the seed and make people go, then you know, maybe the seed's planted, and at some point it'll grow.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I started doing. Podcast radio a few years ago on another network before I founded and started the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. And we played a lot of your music then. So I've always loved your music.
Thank you.
That kind of, you know, it's like you said, jazzy. It's just heavy.
Thank you.
And it makes you smile. And you're right. If you can leave people smiling, then you're going to remember that. Because there's plenty enough in the world to make people not smile. And when you can cut through all of that and make them smile,
yes.
That's a wonderful gift that you give to people. So thank you for sharing that with all of us.
Thank you. And it is its own kind of magic, because people, whenever they come to a concert, whether it's mine or anyone else's, they're seeking an experience. And if you give them an experience that they can talk about for years afterward, then you've done a good job. And that is its own form of spell work. I think that is its own spell.
It is indeed. Now, you gave me a segue to one of the topics that I wanted to bring up, but actually there's something else I wanted to ask you about first. Now, you mentioned Southern witchery and Southern Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to ask you about the influences in your music, because there is some jazziness there, and I'm wondering if there's some, you know, some of that, Mississippi River jazz and blues kind of influence in your music.
Oh, my goodness. Now more than ever before, to be perfectly honest. I just recently moved closer to home. I've been fully nomadic for about 8 years, traveling and doing so many shows so often that I did not have a permanent address for a very long time. I fortunately had such good friends and contacts all over the continent that it wasn't ever a problem. And I never felt alone. I never felt lost. I was just on the road with such frequency that it didn't make sense for me to really have a house key. I had a whole bunch of house keys that belonged to other people, but I wasn't paying rent. And so recently to come back to the South, essentially full-time when I'm not traveling, and discover that this place has still got a whole lot to teach me, and this is a bit of a tangent, but I feel the need to share it with you, Terry, because of the title of the show and a couple of other reasons. I mentioned that I'm at my mother's house tonight. She has one of the oldest oak trees in my hometown in her backyard. This thing is huge.
Oh, cool.
And it's one of those big old Southern oak trees that's been going for a long time. You can't get your arms around it, even if you have another person to help. And 2 days ago, it just fell over. It's not dead.
Oh,
it's
no.
Not sick. It just gracefully as a gigantic tree can, pivoted ever so slightly, and half the root system fell into a little depression that had been under there that we didn't know about. It might have had something to do with water, and just landed in the yard with a giant noise. I was not here, but I was already planning to come down and visit, and I'm really glad that I did. And it is astonishing that this gigantic tree did not land on anyone. It did not land on any fences. It did not hit the house. It just essentially filled up the backyard. And she's got a pretty significantly big backyard, so it's impressive, even lying on the ground. And I got to go out there and visit with it tonight. And this is the tree that I played around when I was a child. This is the only tree that I couldn't climb in that entire backyard, because it was the only one that started out with branches that were 12 feet up. I had a swing in this tree. You know, it's like losing a friend. And I'm dedicating a whole bunch of my energy tonight while we're talking to that tree. And it's just remarkable, really. And I think it is more than a little miraculous that the tree did not hit anything just because it's so big. But I thought to myself as I was out there tonight weeping over this tree, maybe if you get to be that big and you get to be that old, then you get to figure out way in advance exactly how you're going to fall. And I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty likely to get some kind of song out of that thought tonight. So I'm grateful to the tree for giving me that, inspiration. It's pretty easy for me to catch on to song ideas and then run off with them. This one's going to be pretty special if it does come.
Well, you'll have to come back and play that for us.
You bet I will. I absolutely will.
Thank you for sharing that story. Now, is there any thoughts of trying to put the tree back in place? Is that even possible?
We've got the local crew coming tomorrow to consult about that. So we'll have a plan pretty soon, I hope. And if she cannot be saved, then she can certainly be transformed in other very useful and beautiful ways. And I have a whole list of possibilities.
I can picture standing there holding a staff from this tree.
Well, and I have a very useful husband who loves to make staffs and walking sticks, so that'll probably happen as well.
Well, I will speak with you again about that topic.
Alrighty.
So the coming home influence and the like that Mississippi that Mississippi blues jazz kind of feeling that works all the way down the Mississippi River, and you're relatively close to Memphis.
Oh yes, Memphis was actually my jumping off place after college to try and figure out how my music career was even going to start. I moved to Memphis and lived there for 4 years when I was just figuring things out.
Okay, so you got that, and then right down the river into New Orleans and all of that. So yeah, I thought I heard some of that new music, but what other influences? What other influences have you brought into your music?
Well, it's all there. I love being able to relax into having a little bit more of a southern sound these days. I'm very comfortable with it, especially after last year, 2015, my CD release for the album that's called Stolen Season, which has the song on it that we're going to get into a little bit later. Stolen Season is the first album where I sort of intentionally put the jazz and the blues and in some ways, in some very respectful, very tangential ways, the Delta blues influence into my music with both eyes fully open. And I was a little concerned about it because this is different stuff than what I have done previously. It's a little more heavy in some ways. It's a little less light, it's a little less focused on the trickster energy and the fairy tales, although that's still in there very much. But all of the feedback that I've gotten from fans and friends has been super positive and welcoming of it. So I'm really grateful for that. I ripped off a guitar lick from a blues artist named Little Willie John for the very first track on that CD, Black Swan Blues. He's got a very similar lick, and I had already written Black Swan that's the songwriter's curse, though, is you write this song, you think, oh, this is great, I've never heard anything like this before, and then you walk into a restaurant and you hear it, and you're like, well, crap, there goes that idea.
Yeah.
But that's just proof that you're part of a grand tradition, I suppose.
Yeah, and say his name again.
Little Willie John.
And he's from Memphis?
I've got the internet right in front of me. We can look that up and find out and come back to
that
it.
That name sounds familiar. That's the only reason I was asking. It sounds familiar, so.
All right. Well, Google is Google knows all.
Google knows
all.
Yeah, I grew up on the other side of the state.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in the mountains, so my growing up was listening to bluegrass and mountain dulcimer music, and that background drone that you get with the dulcimer that's reminiscent, I guess intentionally reminiscent of the bagpipes.
Mm-hmm.
And that drone with the bagpipe. So that's the kind of music that I grew up with. And of course, we're in Tennessee. You can't be in Tennessee without country music and the blues.
Yes, all sorts of goodness. I love it when you can meld influences together in a respectful, intentional way. And Mr. Little Willie John, Mr. William Edward John, was actually born in Cullendale, Arkansas, but is more well known for his time in Detroit. So he's an Arkansan. Like certain people, like certain people on the show right now, he's an Arkansan, and he wrote "Fever," which we know most famously from the version that Peggy Lee sings.
Okay.
And they inducted him into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1996. So he's a big deal, and I feel justified in borrowing a little piece of a guitar riff from him.
Absolutely. All right. So. So you were talking about the album that you that you just released with that more of the Southern influence.
Mm-hmm.
So, here in just a few minutes, we're going to be playing a song from that. And we're going to be playing a track, Little Bird. So why don't you, as long as we're at that point, why don't you tell us a little bit more about the album itself.
Sure.
And then a little bit about that song in particular.
Okay, well, Stolen Season is one of my great loves of the past 24 months, and I'm so glad that it's out in the world and that people are grooving on it and digging it. And one of the things that made me worry about how people were going to receive this album is that I finally went there as a songwriter, and I wrote a whole bunch of songs about this one relationship, and I was so worried that people are going to be like, oh, God, Sue just turning into Limp Bizkit, this is bad. And no disrespect to anyone else, particularly Limp Bizkit, because they do what they do very well. But I was really worried, because that seems to be how a lot of people write everything, is they write about their breakups chronically. And I would much rather write about Arthurian legend and all sorts of different folklore, and that's what I typically do. So getting into the personal stuff was something I felt like I was going out on a limb a little bit, even though it's something that almost every singer-songwriter has done and in a lot of cases done beautifully. I wasn't sure what people were going to think of me after that, and I was worried they were going to think I was running out of ideas. But like I said, everybody's been super receptive and pleased with it, and therefore making me pleased. But I've got ghost stories on there. I've got love stories on there. I've got a really, really gut-wrenching song that partly spun up out of an attempted breakup. And everyone in that story is okay now, but I twisted it around the thought of sort of forbidden relation between seely and unseely aspects of the Fae, winter and summer, trying to have some sort of romance and having it ripped out of their hands. And so it's complex. And so what better time to stick the jazz and the blues in, because those are two disciplines that can be extremely, extremely complicated. Little Bird is probably the least the least fraught and the least complicated and the least highbrow of all the songs that are on the album. It was one of those rare things that just woke me up in the morning and said, okay, you got to write me right now. And I love it when those lightning bolts show up, because I never expect them. I never think, oh, this is going to be the day that I write a song that I was never expecting to write. Little Bird was a song that I never expected to write, and it ended up it came out just as it's written, essentially. And I initially just stuck the lyrics up on Facebook because I thought, everybody's going to love this, and this is really going to make somebody's day. I've got to share this immediately. So I did, because it's about having the courage to be who you are and try to fly, even if you're scared, just fly anyway. The last line before the first chorus is, I've got no time to be afraid, so you're not going to catch me looking down. It doesn't say I'm not afraid. It says, I haven't got time to be afraid. So Little Bird is deciding for himself, herself, themselves, that even though I'm scared to death, I'm going to do this anyway, because it's time. And shake your tail, spread your wings, be who you are, let your light shine, raise your voice and sing. All that stuff comes into that song. And what happened after I put the lyrics up on Facebook was that we decided on my on the S.J. Tucker Facebook page, the official Facebook page, to have a contest. And I said, well, I know what this song sounds like in my head, but I want to open it up to all of you to make art based on these words as well. So go for it. And everybody that enters gets an MP3 of the song when it's done, and we'll vote on winners, and you guys will get a free download when the time comes. And it was so cool. We had something like 30 or 40 entries. We had everything from other versions of the song to homemade soap and jewelry and a ton of visual art and drawings and paintings and digital collages and things. And we had a stop-motion origami puppet animation video.
Wow.
From Meg and Sabrielle Carroll in Missouri. And the two of them got together with me last spring and helped me make the actual official music video for the song. So it just kept getting cooler and cooler. So I'm always gonna love Little Bird for all of the stuff that it makes me smile about.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and play it because I still want to talk about Caldera Fest and stuff.
Sure.
So let's go ahead and do the song and share this with everybody. And we've got, of course, the advertisement that we play every night for Caldera Fest and all of that kind of stuff at the break. But let's go ahead and do that. We'll come back and talk a little bit more about the song, and then we'll talk about Caldera Fest and such.
Awesome.
All right, so we'll be right back after this. Everybody stick around.
If I am a little bird, next time I open up my eyes, I'm gonna have to learn how to spread my wings and fly. Turn loose of all the things that try to keep me on the ground. Got no time to be afraid, so you're not gonna catch me looking down. I'm gonna shake my tail, or else a dancing thunderstorm. Gonna have all kinds of ways to keep my little spirit warm. I might scare somebody here and there, so they wish me on my way. That's how it goes when you're too much. You're big and bad and you're to stay. I'm gonna shake my tail,
manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
We will it. We manifest it. We draw it to us. We receive it. We accept it. And we give thanks for it.
and by our will, so mote it be.
The Magic Jukebox Podcast presents Caldera Fest Pagan Music Festival, May 26th through May 30th in Lafayette, Georgia. This event will feature the best in pagan music and over 100 vendors and workshops. Featuring Tuatha Day, Dave the Bard, S.J. Tucker, Wendy Rule, Digis Christ Superdrum, Dragon Ritual Drummers, and many more. Also featuring the official release of the Green Album. This eclectic compilation of thoughts and sounds will feature various acts performing at Caldera Fest, benefiting the Rainforest Trust. Come on out and have the time of your life. Caldera Fest Pagan Music Festival, May 26th through 30th at Cherokee Farms in Lafayette, Georgia. For more information, visit calderafest.com today. See you there.
Listening to Terry and Onyx on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We're glad you're here. And now, back to the show.
We'll move you, Virginia.
I love this rejoin music. And welcome back, everybody. This is Terry Power, and you are under a shady tree, usually with Terry and Robin. But Robin is not able to be with us tonight. She is busily packing for our weekend adventure. But we are still joined by the amazing and wonderful S.J. Tucker. And I'm waiting for the S.J., are you back with us?
I think so.
Okay, you're there. All right.
Oh, good. I'm so glad.
it's Blog Talk Radio, so I mean, it's you know, I always ask. I never presume that that anyone is back after the break. It's BTR.
You lose people down the rabbit hole occasionally, I'm sure.
Yeah. It does its own thing sometimes. So, a very cool song. This is about the third or fourth time I've listened to it, and very often during the break, I'll be in the screening room with the guest and talking about how the show's going and stuff like that. But I think you already know the show's going very well tonight. Having a blast.
Me too.
And I just wanted to hear the song again, so. Didn't mean to ignore you during the break, but I wanted to hear the song again. So, very cool song, and I'm excited about having you with us and all of the music you've been doing. Now, it is time, however, that we talk about some of the cool stuff that's coming up, particularly Caldera Fest and the release of the Green Album, as we heard in the commercial break.
Da-da-da-da.
Yeah, I'm just so stoked about Caldera Fest and the epic historical quality of our very own pagan Woodstock. I mean,
indeed. Now, are you and Robin going to be able to make it down there?
Yes, ma'am.
Absolutely.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm so glad.
We will be there. And I think and David has. Even as I understand from his conversations with Robin, has even asked that we maybe do a couple of announcing of artists from the stage. So we are just totally stoked. I mean, we're having new shirts made that have the CERN logo on our staff and stuff like that. So we're actually going to play dress up a little bit and act like respectable people a little bit.
That is fantastic. Well, I have to give mad props to David for bringing us all together and just deciding that it was time and that he was going to be the choo-choo that got the Pagan Music Festival that we've all been dreaming about actually getting rolling down the tracks. I appreciate him so much. I hope it is a grand success. I cannot wait to be down there, and if only because it's going to be like going camping with all of my friends, as most festival situations are for me. But this time it's unprecedented how many of the other folks on the Pagan music scene who play the Pagan festivals are all going to be in the same place at the same time. We're not going to want to go home. We're going to want to, we'll probably go and be in the corner over at band camp because that's what we're going to call it, no matter what it actually is on the site. We'll be like, no, you can just leave us here. It's fine.
Yeah,
I cannot wait for that.
It's going to be epic. I'm going to be catching up with some of the artists that I have met in my travels. A lot that I've talked to on the show, meeting and getting to meet people that I've only talked to, some that I've been a gushing fan of. and I'm trying desperately not to gush too bad tonight. I hope I'm not too embarrassing.
No, you're great. I can take gushing. I'm a good sponge. It's okay. Don't even worry about it. The cool thing, and this is something I've said recently to other folks, but one of the things that I love best about getting to perform for and with this community in particular is that we are all looking out for each other. There's very little competition and a whole ton of synergy. There's much more collaboration than there is competition, and it's always been that way. And I feel so fortunate. I wish that every little aspect of the music business world was as cool as ours is, because there's so little drama, and I want it to continue that way. I feel like I'm letting the cat out of the bag here, but we really are all good friends. And we love seeing each other. There's never an interaction that doesn't come with hugs. And even if it's been years and years and years since some of us have crossed paths, I know we're going to pick up right where we left off. And, of course, that spirit, I hope, will spread out to everyone else who's there at Caldera Fest and just be as infectious as possible. I want it to be I want it to be a meeting of the minds, not just for us over in the music zone, but for everybody who's there. I know this is going to be huge. We are making history. We really are. And I can't wait. Is it spring yet?
people that are not there are going to look at those of us that were, and there's just going to be that we were there. Now, I know David has plans for doing, something, more in the future. But
yeah.
Those of us that were there in Lafayette for that very first one.
Yes.
We're going to be, those people that were at Woodstock, it's just going to be that kind of historical moment.
I hope there will be more good notoriety there and zero snobbishness. Let me just say that right now, because I know that there are going to be a whole lot of people that cannot make it for whatever reason, be it finances or finals week or kids graduating and all sorts of stuff. There are going to be a lot of people that are in this extended family of ours, that are in this tribe, who cannot be there. So I hope that all of us who are there will bring that experience back to share instead of, sitting on it like a dragon horde. That's what I would like to see.
I agree with you completely.
We live in the future, and the internet cannot help but share all of the images and videos and yada yada. So I know that the opportunities for living vicariously are also going to be great.
Oh yeah, I'm going to be running around with my good camera. those that listen to the show know that I'm also a photographer and to a certain degree a photojournalist. I've written some articles. I used to do news. I didn't pay the bills, so I went back to communication electronics. But so I'm always, when I travel, I'm traveling with my camera. And so I'm going to be, geeky fanboy with a camera all weekend. So,
good. Good. We encourage this.
Yeah, I'm just excited and, you know, looking forward to the to this moment. You know, this moment. I mean, there's just that it is going to be a moment in history.
Yes.
That will define who we are as a community.
I would like that, and I would like it to be good memories all around for everyone involved, near
well,
and
I
far.
I know that David is working very hard to keep it a family event.
Yeah.
Part of our plan is to bring our 10-year-old with us.
Oh my goodness. Well, I'll have another festival baby to be jealous of. No, not jealous,
so,
envious. Excuse me. I'll have another
yeah.
festival baby to be envious of.
I daydream sometimes.
I'm like, what kind of person would I be if I had grown up going to festivals when I was too young to, you know, form sentences?
Yeah.
How different would my life be?
She just grew up in festivals, so you
uh-huh.
know, she's already a seasoned traveler when it comes to festivals.
Cool.
So, you know, we're totally thrilled that, you know, David has been working to keep this a family event.
Yes.
So,
and
you know, will allow us to bring our little girl and for it to be a safe place for her.
Yes.
A lot of festivals we go to, yeah, some of them, I mean, and a lot of them are intentionally billed as this is an adult event. And
yeah.
I have no problem with that, and we go to a lot of those and have met great people and made great friends, but the you know, sometimes the you know, the topic itself is more adult, so it's not really a family kind of event. But the fact
right,
that there's still family events going on.
Yes. Yes.
And when we can raise our children in the faith, as it were.
Yes.
You know, I mean, like you said, what would my life have been like if I had been raised in the faith? But, I mean, my upbringing was pretty pretty low stress.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had an opportunity to be pretty expressive about things and I guess a personality that pretty much allowed me to, you know, do my thing anyway. Whether
yes,
it was
good.
Approved or not, because, you know, that's pretty much who I am. But, yeah, I mean, it would have been very cool to grow up in that. And
yeah,
the fact that we can share this with children and our families is pretty cool, because we do live a pagan life in our home.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so, you know, she occasionally goes to church with a friend or something when she's spending a Saturday night away.
Yeah.
And she comes back and tells us about it, and it's like, cool, you know, I'm glad that she had that experience and see other people doing stuff.
Heck yeah.
And,
I got to tell you, I will advocate for kid-friendly, family-friendly space and performance opportunities just as a musician in general, because the two reasons mainly, and the first one is that kids are the best possible people to have in your audience, because if you are crap that day, they will let you know. And they may let you know very gently. They may let you know less gently. Kids are very good hecklers also. But if you're doing a great job, if you are on your game that day, they will let you know that as well, because they'll be dancing around. Or they'll be rapped for, you know, 2 minutes, and then their attention span runs out, and then they run off to play. The other reason is that those are the people, if they get to see you when they are, you know, when they are on the younger side, they might just be your fan for the rest of their lives. And that's something that I never expected to have any insight about when I was getting started doing this. But then a friend of mine had her first child. She had a daughter, and I got to meet this person as an infant. And her mom said to me, she knows your voice just as well as she knows mine. She's been listening to you since she was in the womb. And I had to take a minute and soup with that, because I realized, oh, my God, that I get to be this little girl's Carole King because that's the album that my mother would play and sing for me, Carole King's Tapestry album. Now, you know exactly, mm-hmm. I'm dating myself here, but I don't care. Carole King's Tapestry album was what I was weaned on musically, as well as the Beatles and Beethoven and all the Russian composers and Ray Charles and a whole bunch of other stuff. But Carole King's Tapestry was my first good example of a woman, a female songwriter who was very successful. And so that had a huge influence on who I have become, just having that album in my formative years. So I will always advocate for family-friendly events and performance opportunities from the musician side because of that kind of thing, because you never know the effect you're going to have on somebody. And if you are going into a situation where you want, intentionally, you in your heart want to have a positive effect, where you want to make somebody's day, and there's somebody there who's between the ages of 0 and 18, you might have more of an effect than you could ever predict. And that goes for everyone of all ages, of course. But in this context, I speak for the kids and the interactions that I've had with them directly.
I understand. All right, now there's one more thing that I want to work into before we start into the wrapping it up phase.
Sure.
I want to talk about the Green album.
Okay.
I know you've got a song for the Green album. Can you tell us anything about it? I know you can't play it for us.
I've
actually begged for pre-release copies, and I've been shot down repeatedly.
Uh-huh.
But, so I'm not going to ask for that. But I would ask that you tell us about your song and what you're doing.
Well, absolutely. Well, I love, back in June 2015, I got to do Pagan Picnic in St. Louis with Tuatha Dé, and we did a show at a venue, a folk listening room called The Focal Point there in the St. Louis area, courtesy of our sister, our mover and shaker buddy in that area, Amanda Bell. We got to do those shows together. And Danny comes up to me, and he's being a little bit nervous and trying to be super respectful. And he's like, so I've got this idea. And I was already preparing to say yes. And all he said was, so I've got this idea. And the idea that he had was that we could all come together and do this compilation album and call it the Green Album and put as much magic and focus into whatever songs we contributed to the end of giving something back to the earth and giving something back to other people who care about the earth, and also finding a good, solid conservation group or charity to give some of the proceeds to. And that is essentially what has happened. There are 14 songs from 14 different artists and bands, and there's not a dud in the bunch, Terry. I will tell you that right now. There's not a weak spot on this album from the mixes that I have heard from everybody else. We all sort of did each other the respectful nod of making sure that if we were going to be on an album together, and we are, we were all going to do the best job that we possibly could. So the music that's going to be on this is serious. It is fantastic. And that's, you know, I do have a huge bias when I say these things, and I freely admit that. But I'm also a pretty decent record producer at this point, having produced all of my own albums and done some production work for some other folks as well. And it's gonna be really, really cool. And I hope to goodness that the portion of our album sales that we will all collectively and individually be giving to the Rainforest Trust makes a difference. Because Danny and everybody and Rebecca did a huge bunch of research to find just the right group to work with. And the Rainforest Trust was the group that actually reached out and reached back to us when we reached out to them the most emphatically and said, this sounds incredible. What can we do to cross-promote with you? How do you want this to work? What can we do to make this more awesome on our end? So they were super proactive, and it's just been a delightful interaction from start to finish. Becca and Danny have been really sweet about cracking the whip on all of us and making sure that we don't miss our deadlines with the album itself. So there's the accountability factor is high too, and that helps with making sure that we all bring our A game and do the best job that we can. I think I'm safe to talk about my song on the show tonight, because we've been over on the Green Album Facebook page, which you should all absolutely visit. If you just do a search for the Green Album in your little Facebook search, I'm sure that it will pop right up. We've all been taking turns, all 14 of us, sharing our lyrics and sharing a little bit of background about the songs that we've contributed. My song was inspired by two things. It was inspired by a nightmare that I had completely forgotten about nuclear annihilation, essentially. Yeah, I don't have nightmares about monsters. I have nightmares about getting blown up. That's how my mind tends to work, even though I write music about all this fanciful stuff. When I have bad dreams, it's generally about stuff that could actually possibly go down at some point. It's a shock to me, and I don't have bad dreams very often. I only have them a couple of times a year, in contrast to my husband, who has them at least once a week. And it was inspired by that nightmare that I had forgotten about, and also the Doomsday Clock, which is a convention that exists in the world. This is a thing that scientists monitor and decide what the time is on that clock. And last year they set it to 11:57, 3 minutes to midnight, and they were prompted to make this change by nuclear armament proliferation across the world and the way that climate change is definitely going. Whether you believe it or not, it's happening. I can tell you that just by walking out and looking at my backyard. And the stuff with the Doomsday Clock, it has not been this close to midnight since the Cold War. If that tells you anything. Those of us who remember the Cold War will know exactly what that's like. The rest of us can go to Wikipedia and find it out. And I'm gently asking you to do that if you don't know.
I served in the Air Force during that time period, so I remember.
Yeah, you get it completely. So that the knowledge, when my sweetie told me that they had set that time on the Doomsday Clock, with midnight being we are completely hosed o'clock, essentially, on that clock. That reminded me of the nightmare, and I got really quiet, and then I went off and wrote a song. The chorus, I'll go ahead and share this with you all. I have performed this on stage a couple of times, but it's the last time that we did it, I knew that I was among friends. It was a very loyal crowd out in the Pacific Northwest, full of people that I had met and interacted with. So I broke down a little bit on stage after this tune, and we were live streaming the show at the time, and Kevin Wiley, my longtime business partner who does my graphic design for all of my CDs, was running the live stream, and he hollered up to the stage. He said, "The internet wants to give you a hug." So we had to stop and have a hug break in the middle of the show, and it was powerful. But the chorus is, "Hold me till it's over, how much time till doomsday comes?" And that sounds really, really grim, I know, but it goes back to my assertion that those of us who have hope left when things get really bad are going to be those of us that have community and family that we can rely upon. And the nightmare that I had that ticked off the song was about getting blown up and not being able to get to my loved ones before it happened.
Yeah.
So forgive me for getting really serious and heavy there for a second. We'll go back to Little Birds and Butterflies in a minute, but that's my piece for the Green Album. And I had a wonderful time recording and producing it at home over the winter in my little studio. I got tracks contributed on cello and fiddle from my Tricky Pixie bandmates, who are brilliant, Betsy Tinney on cello and Alexander James Adams on fiddle, and just got to really, really test my own record producer chops to make this thing sound good. Turned it in for mastering on time at In Bulk. Incidentally, that was our deadline, which I approve of strongly, and it's in with our mastering engineer right now.
Well, very cool. Well,
thank you
for sharing that, and thank you for being with us. Now, one other question. Now, I know that all of the artists are doing some kind of workshop. Or I understand that all of the artists are doing some sort of workshop. All of the workshops at Caldera Fest are going to be presented by the artists.
Awesome.
So did you have something already figured out what you're going to do, or...
Well, I will need. I'll need to double check my paperwork on this to make sure that it's accurate. But I have a workshop that I've taught pretty regularly, and it's on music and magic and how to access the way that music works as an energy source and as a form of magic to, and as a force of change in yourself and in the environment around you, because sometimes we're really not aware of the effect that it can have. And, you know, it is, there are things about music that we cannot explain. No one really understands necessarily why you can listen to a song that is being sung in a language that you've never heard before in your life, and yet it still moves you. They call it the universal language for a reason. And scientists have been finding out more stuff in recent years about frequencies that are being emitted by black holes, for instance, and they've actually figured out what the pitch is in some cases. And the first time I heard about anything like that, I was listening to Earth and Sky on NPR, as one does, when driving between work and a recording session. This was back when I still lived there. This was over 10 years ago. And they started talking about this black hole that had been singing the same pitch for however many billions of years. And I nearly ran off the road, because this was proof from science that my belief that music is part of everything was actually true. So that's something that I like to impart in a workshop, and just give everybody a few more magical tools in their toolbox as practitioners where music is concerned. So hopefully there'll be time and space for that. And I think Sharon Knight, my sister from California, who's also coming out and is on the Green Album, has a similar workshop that's really, really powerful.
All right, cool. All right, so we are hurtling toward the top of the hour, and we're probably going to run a few minutes over. So I guess it's time that I thank you yet again for being with us tonight, sharing your stories, and opening up a little bit and sharing your life with us. And I'm honored that you joined us here under the Shady Tree tonight. So I just, again, I want to say thank you.
Thank you so much, Terry. It has truly been a pleasure. You are a fabulous host. I will come and sit under your tree anytime.
All right. Well, I will hold you to that. Now, when you get ready to come out with a new CD, and maybe after Caldera Fest, and we all get a chance to, get back to our, regular lives and take a breath and stuff. And maybe we'll have you come on and play this song for us, and we'll talk a little bit more about that song and upcoming projects.
You just let me know what the calendar looks like, and I'm there. The funny thing about that statement, and I will say this tongue in cheek, is that Caldera Fest is kind of is my normal life. So I get to have that feather in my cap there, because the festival season never really ends for me, and I'm thrilled, and it's because of folks like yourself that I get to say that this is my life, because it's all about having community that supports you and will listen to whatever you throw out there. That's the only reason I am able to continue doing what I do, and I am so grateful. I thank you.
Oh, thank you. I'm excited. So, all right, so how does someone get in touch with you? I know you've thrown a few websites and stuff out there, but why don't you say again slowly so people can write it down when they're listening, and tell people how to find you.
Absolutely. The best place to start is, of course, sjtucker.com, and my last name is T-U-C-K-E-R. If you do, even if you just do a Google search and type me in, it should come up. I found out from someone a couple of years ago that I am in fact Google famous, so it shouldn't be that hard to find me in a search. But just put a .com on the end, and you should not get lost in the web anywhere. If you spend a lot of time on YouTube, I should say it's fun to do a search for me there as well. A whole bunch of people have done fan video mixes of my various songs, so you can listen for free to a lot of stuff out there, and I'm absolutely cool with that, because I would rather you get to hear it than not get to hear it. If I've got a song that's out there, I do have a whole bunch of new video activity going on my own YouTube channel. We listened to Little Bird tonight, and we talked about it a whole lot. I have two, not one, but two music videos for Little Bird, and I mentioned the one earlier, produced by Dork and Danville Productions in Missouri, Sabrielle and Meg Carroll. It's a fusion of myself dancing around and playing guitar in Tower Grove Park in St. Louis, and also stop motion animation with little origami puppets of a little bird and a little fish that Sabrielle and Meg filmed themselves at home. And my crew and I got to come and actually help with a couple of the shots that they were missing. So that was super sweet. So those two videos are up there. There's the one that I just described, and also a more vintage version with kind of a sepia tone overlay and some record scratch noises that weren't there before. That's got some footage that wasn't used in the original video. And speaking of videos, the crew who helped make my very first official music video for my parody song Playin' D&D is running a Kickstarter that's got one more day. I'm talking about Journey Quest, the web series, folks. I'm talking about Zombie Orpheus Entertainment out in Seattle. They are trying to put together Journey Quest Season 3. They have 25 hours left on their Kickstarter as we speak, and they've still got just under 100 grand that they're trying to raise. So please do a search for Journey Quest Kickstarter and find that out. I do not have anything invested in this personally. They're just my peeps, and I want to see them succeed. The only other new thing that I have to share has to do, I mentioned NPR earlier, they have the Tiny Desk concert series that Bob Boylan and his crew put on up there at the NPR offices. They, for the second year now, they're running a Tiny Desk contest for unsigned artists, and they invite us all to submit a video of an original song with a desk in it somewhere. And so I entered the Tiny Desk contest for the second time this year, and I just got the approval email from them 2 days ago that said, "Yay, we watched your video and it meets all the requirements. Congratulations!" So they're entering the judging process now. So it's not like it was a blessing from on high or anything, but it still made me really happy. And that's on my YouTube channel as well. It's a song that I don't have available anywhere else, so I encourage you to go check it out. The song is called Dragon in My Pocket, and it's very cute.
All right. All right. Well, thank you again for being with us and sharing everything that you've opened up and shared with us tonight. I'll thank all of our listeners for taking time out of your life and joining us here under the shady tree, whether you're listening live to us right now or in the archives. We know that time is but an illusion, and we're all here together right now. And we're honored that you take time to spend with us. A couple of programming notes. I do want to let you guys know, and we announced this for the first time on Tuesday, and we're going to be announcing it, every show until we hit the 1st of March. On the 1st of March, which is 2 weeks from tonight, 2 weeks from Tuesday, from last Tuesday, we are going to be changing our time, and we are going to be moving from 10 o'clock back until 9 o'clock Eastern time. So starting on March 1st, our shows will be 1 hour earlier. So mark your calendars, make sure that you are following and come with us to the earlier time, or tell your friends, if you've got friends that say, "Gee, 10 o'clock's too late, I really just can't listen live," well, tell them about the time change. We're going to be moving to 9 o'clock. It'll be easier for some of our East Coast listeners to attend and join us live. Also, on Tuesday night, we will be having our regular full moon ritual. So join in and listen. Our regular cast of ritualists, kind of our Tuesday night coven, as it's become. We will be doing a ritual, inviting everyone to join us. I'm going to change things up a little bit. I've been doing this guided meditation for a year, and we've been going to the temple on the hill. We're going to go back to the temple on the hill, but I have a surprise for everybody. So you don't want to miss that on Tuesday night, the 23rd. A week from tonight, we're going to have Mama Gina joining us and talking also about Caldera Fest and what she's got going on. And pretty much Thursday nights between now and Caldera Fest are going to be artists appearing at Caldera Fest. So you don't want to miss out on any of that. And then the 1st of March, we will be going to the 9 o'clock time slot. Robin and I will be continuing our series on the Fool's Journey through the Major Arcana. We'll be talking about the Hanged Man card that night. And then, woohoo, special announcement. On Wednesday, the 2nd of March, we will be launching a new show with Hercules Invictus and his beautiful lady Athena. They will be launching a show talking about Olympian stuff and possibly some gaming and comic books and just basically enjoying life and how much fun we can have while still being serious about our gods. So that show is going to launch on Wednesday the 2nd, and they'll be with us on Wednesday nights through the year. So you don't want to miss out on that. Hercules is a hoot. So it's going to be a blast. And they've asked me to be their first guest. So on the 2nd, we'll be talking about contemporary myth cycle. And then on Thursday the 3rd, we will be talking with Becca Kelso. Depending on the time difference between here and Dubai and where I am in that process, Robin may have to handle that interview alone, depending on time. I think it's 9 hours, but it could be 8 hours. Once we get all that sorted out, I'll know if I'm going to be able to be on the air that night, because I will be in Dubai for about a week. So with all of that said, I think I've covered all of the programming notes. Now, if you want to get in touch with me or Robin, you can email us. The address is littlestonebridge@gmail.com. That is our shared email address for our ministry. You can also look at the Little Stone Bridge Pathworks Facebook page. You can also write to the station. That is surn.org@gmail.com. And that's where you can send stuff about the programming. You love it, you hate it. Just let us know in the subject line what show or topic it is so that we can direct that to the correct person. And you can find me on Facebook. The easiest way to find me is the Rev Terry Power HP public figure page. Or you can look for my friends page, which is Terry Power. Look for the one in North Copley, Pennsylvania, and it says something about Spiritual Unity Radio Network in there. Because there are a few other lucky guys that share my name, so make sure you get the one in North Copley. And Robin is easy enough to find. She is Robin McKean. Is it Robin A. McKean on Facebook? And she's the only one that has that name. So she's a whole lot easier to find, her friend's page. And I think that covers everything. So, check out our Facebook pages. If you go to the Facebook pages, like the pages so we know that you're around. Friend us on Facebook. Email us. Just let us know if you want us to come out and talk at one of your festivals. Our calendar is getting kind of full for this festival season. So if you do want us to come out and speak at one of your events, you might want to get in touch with us pretty soon. And I think that's about it.
Ta-da!
That's a whole lot to say in a very short period of time. And Robin actually usually does that part, so I was having to pull a bunch of that out of my memory banks.
You did great.
So again, thank you, ma'am. So again, SJ, it's been great talking with you tonight. I'm so looking forward to meeting you and whatever members of your gang travel with you to Caldera Fest. And we're going to be geeky fan guys. And
I can't wait. It's going to be beautiful. I should let everybody know that Caldera is the big deal for this year, but I'm also going to be at Phoenix Fire Festival next month down in Florida. I'm going to be at the Amazon Music Festival here in Arkansas in April. I'm going to be at the Beltania Festival in Colorado earlier in May, and MarCon in Columbus as well. So it's going to be a beautiful, beautiful springtime for me. I've got all the tour dates at sjtucker.com, so y'all come on by.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you again. Thank you to all of our listeners. And I wish you all a week filled with love and with wonder. Good night, everyone, and blessed be.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.